Hallo, schön, dass du da bist, hier beim Podcast Happy, Holy and Confident, deinem Podcast fürs Herz und den Verstand. Mein Name ist Laura Marlina Seiler, ich bin Nummer 1 Spiegel-Bestseller-Autorin des Buches Schön, dass es dich gibt, Gründerin der Rise Up in Shine Uni. Und meine Vision ist es hier unter anderem mit diesem Podcast und mit meiner gesamten Arbeit, so viele Menschen wie möglich wieder an ihre innere Kraft zu erinnern und dir hier die Tools zu geben, damit du dich wieder mit deiner Kraft verbinden kannst und damit du dich daran erinnern kannst, wer du wirklich bist und dass wir unsere eigene Realität über unsere Gedanken, über unsere Gefühle erzeugen. Und wenn wir anfangen, anders über uns selbst zu denken und wenn wir anfangen, unsere innere Welt zu verändern, dann verändert sich alles im Außen. Und dafür ist dieser Podcast da. Und dafür habe ich heute auch einen ganz wundervollen Interviewgast. Und zwar ist es Kelly Noonan Gores. Und Kelly ist die Produzentin und Direktorin von dem Dokumentarfilm Heal. Es ist ein fantastischer Film, wo es darum geht, wie wir unsere Selbstheilungskräfte aktivieren können. Und ich habe mich mit Kelly in L.A. getroffen zu einem sehr, sehr inspirierenden Interview, wo wir unter anderem darüber gesprochen haben, was in unserem Körper passiert, wenn wir im Stress sind, wie die Kraft der Sprache uns entweder krank machen kann oder aber auch heilen kann und wie Dankbarkeit und Vertrauen sich positiv auf unser Leben auswirken und was wir auf mentaler, emotionaler und spiritueller Ebene für unsere Gesundheit tun können. Und das sind die Themen unter anderem, über die ich mit Kelly gesprochen habe. Und dieses Interview ist sehr, sehr inspirierend. Kelly ist einfach eine solche Powerfrau und so, ich fand es einfach so inspirierend, wie sie da über diese Themen spricht und dass sie selber da auch so begeistert drüber ist, so wie ich. Und ich freue mich sehr, dieses Interview jetzt mit dir teilen zu können. Das Interview ist auf Englisch und du findest wie immer auf YouTube und auf meinem Blog natürlich die deutsche Übersetzung dazu, entweder in den Untertiteln oder du kannst sie einfach auf dem Blog mitlesen. Die Links dazu findest du natürlich wie immer hier in den Shownotes. Und bevor es jetzt losgeht, habe ich noch zwei knaller Neuigkeiten für dich. Die erste Neuigkeit ist, seit gestern kannst du dich für ein Stay-Home-Special für die Rise Up in Shine Uni anmelden. Die Rise Up in Shine Uni ist mein vierwöchiges Online-Coaching-Programm. Es ist ein sehr intensives, transformierendes Programm, wo du wirklich kompakt all meine Tools, Meditationen und Input von mir bekommst. Ein wunderschönes Workbook und ich glaube über 30 Stunden Videomaterial live gefilmt mit mir. Und da gibt es jetzt ein Stay-Home-Special, weil ich einfach glaube, dass zu dieser Zeit es gerade nichts Wichtigeres gibt, als in der eigenen Kraft zu bleiben, emotional, mental, spirituell. Und deswegen kannst du dich jetzt für die Rise Up and Shine Uni einmalig für die Hälfte anmelden. Und das ist noch nicht alles. Du kannst sogar in 6 Raten zahlen und du kannst bis zu 4 Workbooks dazu bestellen für Menschen, mit denen du zusammenwohnst. Das heißt, du kannst quasi einmal den Zugang für die Hälfte holen und dir 4 Workbooks dazu, maximal 4 Workbooks dazu holen für deine Familie, sodass ihr die Wusu quasi komplett zusammen machen könnt, was ziemlich, ziemlich nice ist. Das ist das eine. Den Link dazu findest du natürlich auch in den Shownotes. Und das andere ist, ich starte heute am 1.4. die 30 Days of Strong Spirit Challenge. Ist ein langer Name, aber wir haben ja gerade auch alle viel Zeit. Und in dieser 30 Days of Strong Spirit Challenge geht es darum, dass wir jetzt wirklich diese nächsten 30 Tage dafür nutzen, etwas zu erschaffen, etwas, das wir, worauf wir uns jeden Tag freuen können. Und genau darum geht es in der Challenge. Die ist komplett kostenlos. Du kannst sie einfach über meine Facebook-Gruppe machen. Du kannst da einfach mit dabei sein. Ich werde immer mal live gehen, Input geben. Und ich freue mich natürlich riesig, wenn du mit dabei bist und all deine Freunde mitbringst, deine Familie mitbringst. Umso mehr wir sind, umso schöner. Alle Infos und Links dazu findest du hier in den Shownotes und ich möchte an der Stelle auch einfach Danke sagen an diese unglaubliche Community, die durch diesen Podcast entstanden ist. Denn eine Community bedeutet, dass Menschen zusammenkommen, denen das Gleiche wichtig ist, die gleichen Überzeugungen haben, die für das Gleiche einstehen. Und dieser Podcast hat so viele Menschen zusammengebracht, die daran glauben, dass wir gemeinsam eine Welt erschaffen können, in der wir gerne leben und dass wir liebevoll und mitfühlend miteinander sein können und dass es etwas gibt, was uns alle miteinander verbindet. Und ich möchte einfach Danke sagen, dass du Teil von dieser Community bist und dass du diesen Podcast hörst und dass du mich unterstützt, dass du all diese Menschen unterstützt, dass du vielleicht auch Teil bist in der Teamliebe-Facebook-Community-Gruppe, dass du bei den Treffen dabei bist. Und das ist einfach wundervoll und dafür danke. Und diese Community ist so unglaublich kraftvoll und powervoll. Und wenn du gerade das Gefühl hast, dass du gerne Support haben möchtest, dass du dich austauschen möchtest mit Menschen, dann komm in die Gruppe, tausch dich aus. Es gibt jetzt Online-Treffen, weil man sich ja gerade nicht mehr vor Ort treffen kann. Das heißt, du kannst da online in Skype-Calls quasi mit dabei sein, dich austauschen, wieder positive Energie abholen. Und ich freue mich natürlich, wenn du da mit dabei bist. So, hier bei mir piept jetzt gerade der Herd aus irgendeinem Grund, ist aber nicht schlimm. Es geht jetzt los mit der wunderbaren Folge mit Kelly Noonan-Gores, wie du deine Selbstheilungskräfte entdecken kannst. Ich wünsche dir ganz viel Freude mit dieser Folge. I am so happy, delighted and grateful to have you on the podcast today. Thank you so much for taking your time and yeah, that we could come here and talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
You are the author, the writer, the producer, the director of the movie Heal, which is an amazing documentary about healing yourself and the power of self-healing. Mm-hmm. And I would really like to dive also into the movie, but I would also like to talk to you about how did that happen? How did that movie come to you and what made you want to make a movie like this? Mm.
You know, I wish there was a short answer to
no,
this.
No, that doesn't have to be a short one.
I feel like it's like a lifetime of small little events that led me to here. And I think I first got the idea to make a film. I think one of the biggest game changers for me was seeing the documentary The Secret. Mm-hmm. In 2007, I think, so that's 12, 13 years ago. And there was just certain things about the film that really changed my daily practices. And one of them was gratitude work and really just learning about how the energy that we put out there really, you know, is an attractor beam, you know? And I started implementing these gratitude practices in my life. And my life, like in 3 months, my life had this like major transformation. And I was like, wow, this really works. Gratitude is so powerful as a manifester. So, you know, it was the first thing that shifted my experience, you know, my understanding that we are co-creators with life. So later on, that same year, I learned how to meditate. I started going to Michael Beckwith's church, Agape. And so it was just that combination of, you know, and then I'd go to the bookstore at Agape and I read The Biology of Belief by Bruce Lipton. And when I learned about epigenetics, I was like, everybody needs to know this. This is crazy. We're not victims of our genes. So all of these little teachers and books along the way were, you know, taught me that we are much more powerful than we've been led to believe. And what we put out, you know, Wayne Dyer was another one that was a big teacher of mine. So I started thinking about, you know, putting all my teachers into a film to spread the message of empowerment. And I wish I knew specifically why it kept coming back to health, but I think I'm really just so fascinated with the capability of the human body. You know, even in The Secret, the two stories that stuck out to me the most were the woman who healed herself with laughter, breast cancer in like 3 months. And then the other guy, Norman Cousins, who has a famous story of a debilitating, degenerative, very painful disease that he was fighting. And he watched funny content and realized it had like an anesthetic effect. So when he was laughing, when he was up and cheerful, he couldn't feel pain. So I'm just like, I start to think about all those things and I just started to dive deeper into what the human body is capable of and what our minds are capable of and in the heart and energy and, you know, just go down the rabbit hole. So, yeah, I just wanted to put everybody in a film that empowered me so that I could empower other people.
Did you grow up yourself in a spiritual family or was it something that came to you later on when you...
Yeah, I was raised Catholic. Mm-hmm. Both sides of my family were very Catholic. My grandparents were churchgoers, and My brother was an altar boy, so we were pretty Catholic. My dad almost became a priest. Thank God he didn't. I would not be here. But so anyways, when I was going through the process of confirmation, something just didn't feel right. I was like, you know, I'm confirming my life to this faith, which, and I think, you know, Jesus and history is cool, but there's so many other religions out there. There's so many other trains of thought. I feel like I should explore all of them before I commit to one, you know, was my thought process at the time. So I asked my parents, I said, you know, do I have to get confirmed? Is this important to you? And they were like, oh, no, I guess you don't, you know, go free and explore. So then in high school, I went through a period of time where I was really questioning the existence of God. And I was very, you know, cause and effect, you know, more like fate and random, you know, which is a very fear kind of based place to live. But you know, in high school, you feel kind of invincible. So it worked. And so then I went to college and I was unhappy for the first time in my life. I don't know if you'd call it depression, but I was just not feeling right in my body. Mm. I went to Berkeley, which is up in San Francisco.
And I studied there.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. So it's the weather's a little different up there. It's gloomy, you know, and I'm used to sunshine all the time in Los Angeles. And also I'm eating cheap food and drinking alcohol every night, you know. So I was just, I felt just uncomfortable. So I didn't know what I wanted to study. So I eventually, after 2 years, transferred to UCLA. I did a little traveling between transferring, and someone in Australia gave me the book Return to Love by Marianne Williamson. And so when I read it, it was just like, it was like that flower like cracked me right open. I was like, oh my gosh, fear and love, choice in every moment. God is love. And it just resonated me. I was like, this is what spirituality is. This is my truth. And, you know, it was just like that's that restlessness and depression I felt in college was just not having that anchor, you know? Mm. And now I just had something that resonated with me. So I think that was the first real path of spirituality. And I've been on it ever since.
That's beautiful. So you watched the movie The Secret in 2007, you said?
Okay. 2007.
And then you said you like started to practice gratitude. Mm-hmm. Was there a special technique did you just like do in your morning practice to go through what you're grateful for? Mm-hmm. Or did you do visualization? How did you work with gratitude?
And I still do it to this day. It's at times I'm more committed than others, but definitely when I first started, I'm a big journaler. Mm-hmm. So I've been writing in journals since I was little. I love writing. It's a very powerful, therapeutic practice for me. So in the film, I believe it's Bob Proctor that says, you know, you think of something that you want as if you've already had it and feel the gratitude of it. Feel grateful for it. Like say I wanted to get a new pet puppy, you know, I would picture, you know, having the puppy cuddling, and I just feel so grateful that I had this new puppy. So you're feeling the feelings of what you want as if you already had it. So in the journaling, I would say, I'm so happy and grateful now that I have this adorable little puppy who's healthy and loves me or whatever it is, you know? And so I would just write it over and over every day, and I'd spend, you know, 5-10 minutes just writing things down. And then as I saw it started really, I mean, my life, like I manifested this job because a lot of my gratitude was for, you know, being financially free and having the ability to travel to Hawaii and stay at 5-star hotels, just things that aspects of life that I wanted, not necessarily all material, but more just energy qualities of life that I wanted. And within 3 months, I manifested this job that I didn't even know existed before. And I was made, you know, 3 times the amount of money. So I was like, wow, this stuff really works, you know? But today, I still write things that I'm grateful for. I feel like I have so much to be grateful for. So I write legitimately things that I'm grateful, like I have a newborn baby, an 8-month-old. And so I'm so grateful to be a mother. I'm so grateful that she's healthy. I'm so grateful for, you know, all of these things surrounding that. So I'll write the things that are true and real now, and then I'll pepper in some things that I'd like to experience in life, as if I was already experiencing them. So that's the practice. I just write. I'm so happy and grateful. And in that writing, I try to like feel the feelings and visualize, and it really works. And it's interesting. I love this story, and I don't know if you want me to go down there, but
yeah,
another instance besides the job thing is my now husband. I met him, we dated for a period of time, and then he decided to get back together with his ex-girlfriend. And I was just so attached and in love with this guy. But I wasn't gonna let it hold me down, you know? So I would write in my journal, I would look at all the aspects that I loved about him, and then write, I'm so happy and grateful that I'm together with this person that has all those qualities. And then the qualities that he wasn't demonstrating, that, you know, he wasn't adoring me, he wasn't loyal to me, he wasn't fully honest at the time, I would, you know, take the opposites of that and say, I want someone that just totally adores me and treats me like a queen and is honest and so trustworthy and great communicator, etc. So I would write down this ideal man, and you know, one of two things was going to happen. I was either going to attract a version of that man, or my husband now would grow up into that. And that's what happened.
Wow.
And it was really like, wow. Okay.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And I think what is so beautiful about that is that sometimes we have to see a better version of a person so that person can grow into it.
Yes.
Someone has to hold like this energetic frame
yes.
for that person so that he or she can move into it.
Totally.
And that's so beautiful because you wrote it down and you like open up the space so you could enter it.
Yes.
That's really powerful.
Thank you.
I like that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Cool.
So you started to practice gratitude. Mm-hmm. Your life started to change, and then you get like deeper into it. You started to meditate with Michael Beckwith, and you went into it. And then when did you start to think, I'm going to make a movie? Like, was it like a sudden moment, or it was an idea that developed inside of yourself?
I really want to say it was two part. It was reading about epigenetics in The Biology of Belief by Bruce Lipton, and how we're not victims of our genes, and science is sitting there proving it. And then going to Agape and listening to Michael Beckwith, and he just taught me how, you know, you hear, like, pay attention to how you feel. It's such the indicator. It's such your, you know, your tuning fork. It's an indicator of, like, are you aligned with your soul? Or are you not aligned with your soul? So if you're getting fired up, if you're feeling very energetic, so it's an indicator. It's a lamppost to guide you on that path. So I started just paying attention to that, and it was just such a calling in my heart to do this film to empower people. And like I said, you know, even just the stories that were coming to me along the way were these stories of kind of miraculous healing. You know, like he talked about a woman that took a class from him, Michael Beckwith, and she had kidney failure, and she was on a list to have a kidney replacement, kidney transplant. And so she asked the group, the class that she was in, you know, can you please pray for me to get higher up on the list so I can get my transplant, you know, soon? And Michael was just like, well, why don't we just all pray to heal your kidneys? And she's like, oh, no, no, no. The doctor said there's no possibility. Like, I've got a rare disorder. And he's like, okay, well, you know, we'll pray for you to be on the transplant list, but like, While we're sitting around waiting, let's pray to heal your kidneys, you know? So he told everybody in class to, anytime that you would use the bathroom, to be so grateful that their detoxification system and their elimination systems were working, their kidneys, their liver, their everything. And so they were grateful for that. And then at the same time, send her love and light to her kidneys and be grateful for her perfectly functioning kidneys. Long story short, her kidneys healed. And, you know, like 3 months later, she comes back and she's like, you'll never guess. I don't even need a transplant anymore. And he's like, oh, interesting.
What a coincidence.
What a coincidence. So I'm just so fascinated. And I just truly believe that we are, you know, we're only using a small percentage of our potential. And anything I can do to get closer to me just living optimally and, you know, and then helping others do the same, I want to do it.
What were, like, your own biggest takeaways by interviewing all these people, by going through making the movie? Maybe I would like to look at it from two sides. Like, who did you become while making the movie? Mm. And what was, like, one of your biggest takeaways from the movie?
Yeah. Yeah, interestingly enough, you know, it's the first film that I directed. And I'd been on movie sets my whole life because of being an actress. But I'd always had more of a director's mindset. But I really had to step into that role because it was uncomfortable for me to just be assertive with my decisions. I wasn't trusting my own instinct. Okay. So in the first couple months, like, I was really relying on a couple people that I hired that had more experience than me in directing. The cinematographer had directing experience, and my producing partner had directing experience. And then after a while, I started, like, realizing how strong a point of view I had. And luckily, you know, they were very supportive, and they, you know, gave me confidence because they were trusting my instincts, you know? So that was a beautiful, like, stepping into my power, kind of, you know, faking it until you make it kind of thing. And just being okay with learning as you go, being okay with not knowing, you know? Mm. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to. A lot of people I find might wait until they feel they're ready, but it's like you just kind of have to take the leap, you know, especially if that calling in your heart is so strong, like you did with the podcast, you know? Trust that there's a reason your heart is pulling you in that direction, and if you say yes, like, the doors will just open to support you, you know?
Yeah, don't wait for permission from anyone.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. And then to that, you know, the takeaways from the film is, you know, just so much is possible. Mm-hmm. And we have to be very vigilant of language that we tell ourselves and that other people tell us, especially authority figures like doctors. You know, the power of language can really, you know, hurt people or help people. So it's, you know, if a doctor... One of the big takeaways, which I love, is, you know, go get the best medical advice you can. Get the diagnosis. Find out what's going on in your body. But never accept anyone's prognosis. There's a lot of doctors are trained to that, you know, giving false hope is unethical. But it's actually, if you take a step back, it's actually unethical to give them, to take away their hope. Yeah. And, you know, doctors mean well, but they're just not conscious of the power of their language. So, you know, you just have to hold on to possibility because we are just amazing beings that have so much potential to heal and to create and otherwise.
Yeah. So in what ways, like, did your own spiritual practice change through the movie or because of the movie? Mm. Like, did you go deeper? Did something change in the way you are with yourself, treating yourself, talking to yourself?
Yeah, for sure. I think we had to practice what we were preaching. So it was great because we got practice every day making, your crew knows, it's like making something on a budget. You always come up to challenges and there's so many moving parts when making a film, so we really had to not let these curveballs that would come at us stress us out, because everything we were learning in all these interviews was that stress really, you know, shuts down the immune system and puts you in fight or flight and lowers your higher brain centers and messes with your digestion and all of these wonderful things that stress does to the body. So we had to just really breathe and really trust that, you know, a no, like, is just a course correction, you know, rather than this detrimental slap in the face. So it was a cool classroom. So we were teaching and we were learning and we were, like, embodying at the same time. So I think I'm just much more aware of and much more, I can quickly not stay in stress. So, like, I'm human, I allow for my emotions. But then you don't stay there. Then you go, okay, after my grieving period, after my wallowing, after my frustration in the moment, then you take a deep breath and you then first step is to just accept what is as reality, because that was the other big takeaway, is the resistance is where we, you know, it where we get stress. So when we're fighting against what is, when we're resisting, we're exhausted all the time, we have brain fog, we're in stress, we're, you know, and eventually heading down the course of disease, you know? So it's really just like trusting life and accepting and then moving forward from that.
You just said two really important things, I think. The one thing is stress. And because I think, I don't know how it is for you. I mean, probably you're way more conscious now because of this movie, but I think it's so normal to be in stress, right? I mean, there are so few people who are just really relaxed, really calm, really in their power, really just like you said, trusting that everything will work out. I mean, when you look out, everyone is just like rushing and never in the moment. And just, so could you, for everyone listening, could you maybe dive a little bit deeper into where does stress come from and what does it to our body and how do we get out of stress?
Yes, it's a long answer. But yes, so stress, I think, really comes from resisting what is, when we think life should be a different way. And, you know, also, I mean, there's three types of stress. There's physical, chemical, and emotional. You know, and I think the one that affects us, well, they probably, you know, mostly is chemical. We're inundated with chemicals, you know, seen and unseen right now. And European has higher standards of what can be put in the products. But so we're just, you know, disease comes from accumulation of this chemical stress or emotional stress. So that's why, you know, we need to, and that's from Ayurveda. If you watch the movie, the first step in the disease process is accumulation of too much stress. And so what we need to do is learn to just be more conscious of the chemical stress that we're putting on our body and the burden. But then from an emotional standpoint, we need to have daily practices where we can release the stress and the tension of the day. We're getting inundated so much by information and the pressures of social media. It's like almost impossible to process the amount that's thrown at us on our smartphones or, you know, the television every day. So we really just need to, you know, disconnect from tech. We need to have daily practices like meditation so that we release the tension from our minds and not allow that accumulation to occur. You know, everybody has adopted this idea that, you know, physical hygiene is so important. We wash off the gunk and the dirt of the day. And we really need to start treating things, daily practices like meditation or prayer or connecting with nature, whatever your de-stressing practice is. We need to treat it like physical hygiene. We need mental hygiene. We need to wash the tension away. We need to create space so we can handle life. You know, if you're up to here with mental tension, you don't have any space to respond to life. You just react and it spirals. So just learning, you know, daily practices to disconnect from all the stimulation in the world right now. Turn within. Connect with nature, connect to your breath.
Do you have a special meditation technique you use for yourself?
I learned initially transcendental meditation. And I recommend, you know, for people, there's so many wonderful meditation apps out there, Headspace or Calm, and I'm sure there's wonderful ones in Germany. So start there, but if at some point I think to learn something like transcendental meditation, you go through the course, and mine was only 4 days, but you learn the benefits the physical and the spiritual benefits of meditation. And once you, you know, attach more meaning to something, then you'll be more likely to stick to the practice because you're understanding how it's physically changing you for the better and spiritually changing you and giving you access to your higher self and soul. And so I highly recommend some sort of meditation course so that, you know, you really understand the benefits that you're more likely to stick to it.
Yeah. The second thing you said was resistance. So there's stress and resistance. And I mean, we all know it, that sometimes we just want life to be different to what it is. And then we just don't want to accept it and we fight against it and we lose so much energy because we just are like in our heads and say, this is not what I want.
Yes.
How do we get out of resistance? How do we come into accepting reality? And how do we change it? How do you do it in your life?
So, and this is like the biggest takeaway from making the film is my ultimate kind of realization or conclusion from the research and the journey I went on is that healing is spiritual. And that it's all about your belief, really, about life, about God, about the universe, about the intelligence that's keeping all of this in order, whatever name you want to call it. If you really get to a place where you trust that God is loving, or trust that the universe is loving, or trust in this divine intelligence that's keeping everything in order, even chaos is order in a way, then you can you know, again, have that human reaction, like, oh, this should not be that way, or this person should not have stolen from me, or betrayed me, or hurt me, or, you know, whatever it is that you feel should be different. When you trust that universe has a way of nudging you along the path, so where you're back in alignment with your purpose for being here, or whatever lessons that you chose to come here to learn. And trusting in that, and how I understand it is, you know, the universe might give you a little tap, if you don't listen to the tap, you might nudge you a little harder. And then if you're still, you know, making choices that are out of alignment with your higher self and your calling and your purpose, you know, eventually you're gonna get whacked over the head with something that is, you're going to resist even more because it's a trauma or a crisis, you know? But all of these things are meant to wake you up, to choose differently, to course correct, you know, to get out of a toxic relationship, whatever that may be. So they're just, you really just have to trust that everything is happening for you and not to you.
So it is actually the way, just we have to look the other way. It's not something that is against us when something happens, but to really be like, oh, welcome, lesson, and take it in and work with it. I think that's really beautiful about what you said, that it's all about belief. That the moment you click into this belief of that it is for you, something opens up, and then you can receive the messages.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And so, you know, sometimes, of course, people that are in pain or have a late stage diagnosis that's terrifying, you know, they're probably yelling at the phone right now and going, what do you mean this is for me? This is killing me. You know, it's like, it's hard. It's really hard to swallow sometimes, especially if you're in that position. But really, like, that's why the more inspiring stories we can share with people, the more they can grab onto those examples of people that were in a similar situation, but they made choices, they defied odds, and if they can do it, I can too, you know? So again, it's like, okay, feel the feelings, grieve, be pissed off, be frustrated, be sad that you're dealing with this crisis, but then go, okay, what is the lesson in this? What is, there is a blessing in this. this is waking me up to choose differently. And, you know, all the just countless stories of people who went through the fire, ended up healing from their late stage cancer or MS or whatever they turned around in their life. And they all look back in hindsight and go, I wouldn't change a thing. It was the biggest blessing. So we just need to continue to share those examples so that people that are in crisis can go, okay, if they did it, I can too. And there's a blessing at the end of this.
It's so important. Yeah, I've been a few times at the seminars from Dr. Joe Dispenza. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful because there are also always people come up on stage. Yes. And they tell about the healing stories. Mm-hmm. And from people who had like fourth stage of cancer, stage four, and who healed themselves through meditation, through the practice, through breath work, through opening up. Mm-hmm. And this, I think it's so powerful when you really hear people talking, because for me, I cannot talk about it because I haven't been there.
Yep.
So for me, it's really inspiring to hear that. And there are those stories. So maybe for everyone listening, look up those stories, read about it and get it into like your consciousness. And instead of like looking all the things, Googling,
the bad stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Google the people who healed and to get this reality also into your mind. I think this is really important.
Yes. Yeah.
So what is, I mean, you made this beautiful, amazing documentary. You must be really proud of it, hopefully, because it's amazing.
Thank you.
And what is coming next for you? What is your vision? What are you writing right now down in your journal? What you're grateful for 2022 or the next years?
Yes. I'm open. I mean, heal was such a calling. It was such a pull in my heart. So I'm kind of, and I was just talking to Patty Penn, who's in the film, about this before you came in, and just like again, really paying attention to the language I'm using, because I find myself going, wow, I just need a break. I want to take 6 months off and be with my baby. And but really, like, you know, she likened it to like, I'm like a surfer waiting for the next big set to come, you know, and waiting is okay. So I'm really just trying to slow down a little, refill the tank with new inspiration. And see what's next. I love to create. So, in that same vein of giving people more inspiring healing stories to grasp onto, kind of one of the last things that we're doing with Heal, or current things, is developing a television series so that it's ongoing, because there's so much to explore.
That's
all
amazing.
Over the world, there's like amazing doctors and ancient practices and these stories that people have healed. So the more that we can share that, possibility and share options, we're going to keep trying to do that. So that's kind of the last thing that's with Heal Phase 1 right now that we're trying to get off the ground. But otherwise, I just taking a breath, kind of hanging out with my family and
being a mom
and seeing what's next. Yeah,
it's beautiful. So I have one question I ask all of my interview guests. And the question is, imagine it's the last day of your life. You had a really beautiful, really, really, really beautiful long life. But there was a technical problem. And I would come to you on the last day of your life and I would say, I'm so sorry. Like, everything you did is deleted. Your movie is deleted. It's all gone. Technical problem. But good news. I have a white sheet of paper and a pen. And you could write down on this paper three wisdoms. If nothing else of everything you did is left in the world, only this sheet of paper where you could write down three wisdoms, what would you write down?
Oh, this is good. Wow. Okay. Three wisdoms. I would say, oh God, this is so hard. Do people just like say it quickly? I feel like I would need to think about this for a long time. I would say it has to do with, first of all, like, there's so much is possible. So really, like, in that, like, if you have a dream, know that that the dream is with you for a reason, and with everything attached to it that you need to make it fulfilled. Meaning, that was not an eloquent way of saying it, but like, in every acorn is an oak tree. So if you have that dream, you also have the ability to realize it.
Wow, that's beautiful.
So that, there's that. I would say, do what makes you come alive, you know? Like, don't be afraid. Like, take risk. Be you. Express you authentically. If you want to jump out of airplanes, do that. If you want to be an artist, you know, do that. Like, just follow your heart. Don't do what someone else says that you should do. Like, live authentically. Live boldly, you know? I'm telling myself this right now. And then I would say the last one has to do with see everybody, like, try to look at everybody from the perspective of being a little innocent baby. We all came into this world just like, oh, I'm gonna cry. Like, we all came into this world just like innocent little, you know, children, beautiful little children. And, you know, we have different opinions from people, and we have, you know, people drive us nuts. But it, like, if you can just, if we can connect on that level of just being these beautiful little precious beings, then we can get past all the bullshit, you know?
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm crying. But yeah.
Because it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing. And it's also, I think it was the same when my baby was so small.
Yeah.
You just look at them and you get remembered.
Yeah.
Like, you remember.
Exactly.
What is true and what is love.
Exactly. Yeah. And then all the judgment goes away.
Goes away. You know? Yeah. Thank you for sharing. Yeah. Thank you so much for everything you do. I really want to acknowledge you for, yeah, just being you, speaking your truth.
Thank you.
That you did that amazing movie, and that you just share this knowledge and everything that you learned with the world, because I think it's so important. And whenever I or we can support you somehow, we here.
And thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
Ich hoffe sehr, dass dir diese Folge gefallen hat und dass du ganz viel daraus für dich mitnehmen konntest und dass du dich jetzt gestärkt und in dir geerdet fühlst und dass du in Kontakt kommst oder Neugierde bekommen hast, in Kontakt zu kommen mit deinen Selbstheilungskräften. Und wie gesagt, heute beginnt zum einen die 30 Days of Strong Spirit Challenge in meiner Facebook-Gruppe. Ist komplett kostenlos. Den Link findest du hier unten in den Shownotes. Sei mit dabei. Ich freue mich unendlich drauf. Und wir werden uns die nächsten 30 Tage einfach zusammen richtig, richtig schön machen. Und zum anderen kannst du dich jetzt für die Hälfte des Preises zur Rise Up and Shine Uni anmelden, weil ich gerne damit meinen Beitrag leisten möchte und ich gerne diesem inneren Calling folgen möchte, so vielen Menschen wie möglich den Zugang zu ermöglichen zu der Rise Up and Shine Uni. Und dafür gibt es jetzt das Stay Home Special, wo du dich zur Hälfte des Preises anmelden kannst. Ich freue mich, wenn du da dabei bist. Schick dir eine unglaublich große Umarmung. Lass mir gerne deine Kommentare zu der Folge heute auf Instagram da, @LauraMarlinaSeiler, und fühl dich von Herzen umarmt. Rock on und Namaste, deine Laura.